This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Okay, it's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I got a theory for you, Mike. I've been waiting to talk to you about this all day long. Talked about it in my video today from Studio G right there. You can check that out at 105.3TheFan.com. Is there any way the injury fixed Luka's kryptonite or changed Luka's kryptonite? I don't know exactly how you say that.
Okay, yeah.
Did it affect his relationship to free throws? Okay, that's what we're talking about. Because last night he was 10 of 12.
Okay.
Okay, and among the things Rick Carlisle said about Luka last night after the glorious return from injury, he worked hard during the rehab. He scrimmaged for three straight days with our interns and a couple of players. He worked hard. He's worked hard on his free throw shooting, which is obvious, said Rick. Now, I didn't pay much attention during his stroke, but I remembered before his injury, you talking about how when Luka's at the line, he's getting up on his tiptoes and coming down off of his tiptoes. Yeah.
Well, almost like his heels have concrete and they don't want to raise off the ground when he's shooting a free throw when it goes bad.
So, could the ankle injury have limited his foot mobility? That foot mobility is not going to be good physical therapy. You want to rest that thing and immobilize it. Could the need to immobilize his ankle have quieted his bottom half and allowed him to take that out of his thinking? I don't need to do anything with my bottom half. I'm just going to stand here flat-footed and hit free throws.
That's a great theory. I just don't know that.
Give him like 2.5 weeks to groove that thing.
He was 1 of 3 to start the game. So to start the game, I'm like, son of a gun.
Yeah.
So like, here we go. And then he hit his next 9 free throws in a row. For some reason, when he shoots a shot, to me at least, I'm not saying it's the best looking shot I've ever seen. I'll leave that to guys like Ray Allen and other people that just have beautiful shots.
I'll let you know.
It does look like a good looking shot though when he shoots his three and he has his body under control. His free throws just don't look comfortable. Even last night making those 9, and I'm not saying that they all slobbered home or rattled in. A few of them did. A few of them were swishes.
What's it look like if it slobbers home?
Well, like around the rim. Okay. Like, you know, it kind of like it hits the rim backboard and then rolls a little bit on the rim and then falls in. And you know, we call that at, like our house. He slobbered it in.
Okay.
And so I would say I'm not sold that is figured out. I hope that he gets better in the second half with it, because if he struggles with just the pressure of going to the free throw line in a regular season game, he's going to get fouled. Where the Mavericks at some point, I think, either this year or next year in a playoff game are going to be up by 5 points with 35 seconds to go, and Luka is going to get the ball, and they're going to intentionally foul him, and he's going to have to make free throws to ice away the game. And that's when it's going to really show or not show how confident he is in this.
And I would hope that they can get it figured out before they get to one of those moments. Because if he gets to one of those moments and it goes bad, it can be tough to recover from, you know. And some players never did recover from something like that. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. I thought it was interesting to hear Rick talk about how, you know, when you're out like that and you don't have a lot of stuff you can do, he focused on the one thing that he could do repetitively. And it'll be interesting to see if it has a profound impact on his percentage as the season goes on, because it was dropping like 7 to 9% every month on average.
You know, it's amazing for guys like Luka and LeBron, and I'm putting them in the same category here, because at 14 years old, they were amazing at the sport and they were doing things at 16 through 19 years old that very few human beings have ever done. And they were calm and controlled in doing it. And yet LeBron and Luka, who are so calm in the biggest moments with the ball in their hands and can make such great decisions at a very young age, they both at a very young age would go to the free throw line and go, I don't know if I can handle this pressure. It's just interesting to me. Give them the ball with the game on the line to make a play with live action. Pressure. There's no pressure. I'm Luka. I'm LeBron. Foul him and make them go shoot free throws to tie or win a game, and all of a sudden, the one time you'll ever see those guys look like they're not comfortable in the moment is at a free throw line.
Yeah, it changes everything. You know, it's one thing to spontaneously react while you're competing and going hard, but everything quiets down, everybody's looking at you, and you have time to think instead of react. Doesn't take long to get tight, does it? about a quarter of a second.
Yeah.
Just a quick thought, and you're like, whoop, okay. Puckering. Okay, the bigger story for the Mavs, though, and the free throw one could be massive for the trajectory of his career, but the bigger story is that Porzingis and Luka both went off, and can we expect that now going forward? And was it as simple as, you know, just asking Luka, or maybe Luka seeing for himself, Porzingis is ready to roll. You don't have to have any sort of a governor on how many looks you give him. Or even, how about this, Luka? You're out there trying to create, and it appears to me when you see nothing, you take a step-back jumper. How about instead of taking those ill-fated step-back jumper, sure, if there's 2 seconds left on the clock, go ahead. But if there's 12 seconds, throw it over to Porzingis. See if he can get something cooking out of nothing.
And Porzingis, with littler guys on him, and most guys are littler on him, boy, he's starting to drain those shots where we thought he would drain them early in the year and he couldn't make them. Now when those guys are 6 foot six or shorter or whatever, and he's like, I don't really have to jump. There's no way you can touch the ball when I shoot.
As long as he doesn't floor it, right?
Yes, as long as putting it on the floor causes him major problems overall so far this year, according to the analytics. But as long as he just catches it, he turns to the basket and he's like, you're kind of little. I'm just going to shoot the ball from right here.
Yeah.
He was nails last night. I'll tell you what, I almost woke up my kids last night because it was later in the game, maybe late in the third, when DeLon Wright gave him a pass kind of on a break where he was trailing, and he just took those two long strides and dunked it. I mean, I was like... Oh. I screamed for a second, just so excited at just what he's doing now. Early on in the year, I think you guys will agree with me on this, he was very protective of his body going to the basket. Now he's like, give me the ball and I'm hammering it home, or I'm going hard to the basket.
He wanted to dunk on Gobert so bad the other day. He tried a couple times, never really worked out for him, but he wanted to, and I like that.
Well, he needs to get revenge for some of those grizzly bear Gobert dunks that he was getting thrown down on him. That looked uncomfortable.
Were poor choices. I just liked the optimism and the aggressiveness.
There's nothing better than a guy who believes he can dunk, and then he takes two steps, and the ball goes flying through the underside of the net. He's like, man, didn't quite work out the way I wanted. But either way, you know, I think Porzingis is in a great place now. I don't think night in and night out you're going to combine for that level of points. But Porzingis is such a great scorer, and Luka's doing such a great job of setting him up. And now that there's no rust, I think what you hit on right there, Mike, there's a level of confidence in Porzingis where earlier he didn't know, can I, you know, be determined? I'm just going to take the ball and go to the hoop. He was protecting his body and maybe worrying, can I trust the knees? Now he knows it, and he's approaching the rim with such intensity that, you know, players are starting to get out of his way.
Also, 6'8", 2", poses this question, since we're really excited about what Luka and Porzingis did together. Are we jumping the gun because it's just the Kings they did it against?
Kings have given the Mavs trouble this year.
Yeah.
Kings beat the Mavs earlier. They're a physical team. They're a strong and athletic team. That's exactly the kind of team that, even though they're below 500, can give the Mavs problems.
I'm excited. I think that this is the first time I've seen it where they both dominated together. And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't both of those guys start dominating together? And I think we're about to see an awesome second half.
Hey, you had an interesting note when you called me earlier about Michael Kidd-Gilchrist brought up.
So Mark Cuban said the reason that they wanted him and picked him up after Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was bought out of their contract is they see him as a center. They don't see him as a wing
Michael
player.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
I think he's 6'7" or 6'8". I think maybe 6'6". I don't know.
He's Houston.
He's their Robert Covington center.
That's what they said. They said, look, and he mentioned Houston. Mark Cuban mentioned Houston, and he said with small ball possibly happening in the NBA, and we have a 7'3", you know, power forward, so it's not like our power forward's 6'6". We think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, they want to work on his offense because they know it's a weak spot, but they're like, we think he's physical and strong enough to kind of play in the new era of basketball where it's going to be a center.
That is awesome. Can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
The new era is here, and I think it's going to be matchup dependent where you'll see really different versions of lineups that can go out depending on, okay, we've gone small. Is it working? No. Okay. Let's try to go big and force them to go big. And basketball turning more and more into a chess match. It's pretty dang cool. All-Star Weekend coming up. Luka and LeBron teaming up. It sounds awesome, right? I think that's what makes it a must-see TV event for me. I don't know if this is going to happen again, and I know how much it means to Luka, and I think we're going to remember or talk about for years the All-Star game that Luka and LeBron played in. LeBron's enough in his prime that he could be MVP. He could be a total showman. And Luka is at a place in his career where he could play a long time. And maybe we'll get some unbelievable All-Star Game moments between those guys.
I'm excited about the All-Star Game for the first time in a long time. Tomorrow, he plays tomorrow night, and I'm hoping he doesn't play a lot tomorrow night. He plays in the what is it called? Young Guns, whatever, rookies, sophomore
Rising
game.
Star?
Rising Stars, there you go, game. So he has to play Friday and play Sunday. I'm hoping because he is playing Sunday in the All-Star Game, they're like, hey, we're going to play you because you are the star of it, but we don't want to extend you and play you the majority of the game because you do have to play on Sunday.
Well, you know, maybe he wants to really, really put on a show. I think Damian Lillard did a couple of years
ago.
He's
out. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Groin, right?
Yeah, and Devin Booker took his spot in the three-point competition and in that. And hopefully the new rules, I'm excited about this because somebody posted, an NBA fan posted, remember when All-Star Games, they kind of tried?
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the last 5 years where it's zero try, zero, 100% of the time we never try. No matter if there's 5 minutes to go in the game, we still don't try. And I'm hoping with it now being charity in the first quarter, charity in the second quarter, that we see guys give some effort of looking like a real basketball
game. Plus this year, it'll be special for a lot of guys to honor Kobe with a really competitive performance because they're going to be honoring Bryant, before, during, and after that game. It's going to be on the top of everybody's mind. I did see the Lakers go into the break as the NBA title favorite. I think this goes to them being a public team, how we talk about with the Cowboys, because they're at plus 180. The Bucks are 275 and the Clippers are 325. I see. I would fix the Clippers and I would switch them, the Clippers and Lakers.
Yeah. Whatever. No, I do think it's, to me, feels like a three-team race for the championship. I get it. Denver's good. Denver played a heck of a game the other night and lost to the Lakers. Utah's a solid team. I don't think they're going to the NBA Finals. And I think Boston is the second best team. I know Toronto just won 15 games in a row and lost last night, but I think Boston has the best chance of knocking off Milwaukee. I don't think they're going to do it. And then I have to ask this question, since you posed Luka playing with LeBron, and I know he wanted to because that's his idol hero. Would you have rather him played with Greek Freak this year and Greek Freak next year if there is that 1% chance that we're supposed to get the Greek Freak, that he could play with him in All-Star games and get a feel of what it would be like to play with him?
I guess if there's value there, could that really do it?
I have no clue.
You're in the same locker room.
Throwing it out there. That's when I guess Kyrie and Kevin Durant, I don't know if they played on the same team or not in the All-Star game, but that's when they decided they were going to play together, is when they played in the All-Star game.
Worth a shot. Yeah, I'd rather have that than him play with LeBron, have a shot at courting Giannis or vice versa. Dallas Stars puck drops here in 45 minutes. They're in Toronto. One of the only shortcomings on this Stars team right now, lack of goal scoring, is a big topic going into this one. And Tyler Seguin is amongst the guys with the longest droughts. Highest paid player on the team. He's created lots of chances. Has not scored in 2020. 17 straight games for Tyler Seguin without a goal. Stars are in third. They're just 4 points behind first place St. Louis in the West.
All right, Stars prediction then. Tyler Seguin cleans that up today/tonight against Toronto.
Yeah, give me
Seguin finds the net.
Give me like 6-1 odds.
You know what I need? I need a Hockey Hawk question, or for Shippy. Is,
you want them to call in right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Firing the coach. If that wouldn't have happened, would they be in the same spot? How much was letting go of, and I'm sorry I'm drawing a blank on his name, but him dealing with alcohol and possible other things in his life that were spiraling out of control?
Jim Montgomery
is getting him out of there. How much has that helped the Stars just really kick butt now for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it feels like?
Looks like they're dusting for, because they were kicking butt under Monty, weren't they? And then
they were pretty well, and then they kind of had a dip. And
Yeah,
they were kind of up and down.
Well, they got it going on now. Okay, Landry Jones has announced he's back. He's going to play 2 o'clock.
Oh, we need him.
On ABC Sunday.
That's huge news.
Hey, guys, I don't care if you're not watching. For whoever out there is a Renegades fan, that is huge news. Backup Instagram guy, he can't do it. We need Landry. Boomer Sooner.
Did a bunch of people watch, though, right? DFW got pretty good ratings.
Yeah, I think it was a 4-point something.
Yeah, that's good ratings.
More than most Rangers and Mavs games.
Yeah.
So I guess congrats are in order for the XFL, and we'll see if it's even more with a real offense under Landry Jones. Okay, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, you know what? There was a Rangers player who was on the Astros last year when that buzzer stuff was rumored to be happening. Was he involved? He has a strong answer. It's next. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Little infoul territory here. Some Rangers news of the day. There's actually a current Ranger. He's also a former Ranger, and now he's a former Astro.
Current, former, former.
Yeah,
I know.
Who used to be current.
One of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
A true gentleman, a great leader, and a guy who I'd love to be buddies with in another life, Robinson Chirinos. Awesome,
dude. In
this
life.
Yeah, I kind of consider myself buddies with him, even though I only met him once and interviewed him once, and he doesn't know who I am, but I know who he is, and I'm a big fan.
He has an 11-year-old son. Maybe later in life, him and Abby will get together, and you guys can be,
Let's make it happen.
Yeah, you guys can be part of the family.
Let's go. Let's start one of those cultures where the parents fix the kids up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think arranged marriage. No, I think you should let them make their own choices.
My new best buddy.
Yeah.
Hey, Abby. Meet your new husband.
Just make them be around each other a lot and hope it happens.
So no, the media was asking Robinson about his experience last year with the Astros and the alleged cheating that went on with the buzzers and all that. Segment's brought to you by Carbach Brewing. It's brought to you by Charter Communication, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels 214-333-3333 or jump online there to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, his quotes are really good. He really comes strong on it as well. I feel like I'm getting judged by people and I did nothing wrong. It's not good the way people are talking about my name. I've never used something like a buzzer, and I would appreciate you guys no longer asking me about it. So to me, that's the kind of answer that you get when a guy hasn't done something, like really offended that you would even consider my kind of character would be involved in something like this.
If, I hate to do this to you, Chi-Chi Chirinos.
Oh, I thought that was a different guy on the Rangers a while back.
And Chiafalo.
Okay.
If he were an Astro, would we take that statement and say, well, sure, you didn't use a buzzer, but, well, I guess he wasn't there in 17. Huh?
Yeah, he wasn't there in 17, thankfully.
Okay, so yeah, just 1 year. He's just okay, there. Last year was his only year.
Because if he were there in 17, I'd be like, okay.
He was 18 and 2.
He might have been 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
But
sorry,
he wasn't there in 17, so never mind. I apologize and withdrawn.
Right. My heart was broken when I started putting together that timeline. I was like, oh, man, is Chirinos involved in some way? Am I going to have to suspend reality in my own mind and basically be like an Astros fan just to support Robinson Chirinos? And based on the way he answered the question, I would say no. I'm giving the same benefit of the doubt to Carlos Correa, who I believe today aced the test and how you would take accountability and responsibility for this.
The answer from Chirinos and the answer from Carlos Correa lets me know this. And the answer from Altuve and Bregman lets me know this. The cheating that happened in 2019 was individual, and they worked individually with one of the code breakers that works in the video room to make sure that they got buzzed on the signs. And they didn't want teammates to know because it was getting around so much in baseball that the Astros are cheaters. And it was probably from former guys like Mike Fiers and other guys that had moved on from the Astros from the 2017 season that they know they couldn't do it publicly in front of their whole team anymore. So they had to do it very quietly. So Chirinos, to his answer, I totally believe he didn't do it. And I totally believe he didn't know that Altuve and Bregman and possibly a few other guys were still cheating in 2019.
Yeah, we said it earlier. It moved it into the steroid department where, okay, we're going to do this, but if you talk about it, then maybe some of our teammates now could rat you out down the road or, our teammates don't need to know about this anyway. Because
Altuve won the MVP because of getting signs.
Dude, yeah, we did a segment. I remember asking you about this, last fall. Is Altuve the greatest postseason hitter of all time?
At that time, I said yes.
Yeah, because of his numbers are just so compelling. He was dominating.
Now we know why.
And you know what? This story, it's so deep and goes so many levels and trying to put yourself in all the different positions. One of the things I can't get out of my head entirely is what I would have done had I been on that team. Because nobody blew the whistle on themselves.
I wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
I would have thought, man, we are awesome at stealing signs. And you know what I would have thought? According to the articles I've read from Ken Rosenthal, I would have thought other teams are doing it. Carlos Beltran just came from the Yankees. Chris Young from the outfielder, Chris Young, was talking about how he helped with the Red Sox Apple Watch situation. And we'd heard about the Apple Watch thing where people were were stealing signs and moving outfielders based off of watches. So I would just think, you know what? Teams are doing this in all types of different ways. We're just the best at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would have been easy to justify.
Yeah.
Especially because you're starting to wonder, man, what would my batting average be? What are my chances of, you know, winning again looking like if we don't have this kind of advantage? Okay, this story here in the morning news with Chirinos. Here, let me give some love to the author. Okay, this is an Evan Grant deal. It details, there's a video snippet in question about Chirinos with something flying off his bat during a swing in his first at-bat of Game 4 of the World Series. In the video, Chirinos bends over to pick up a piece of debris and attempts to put it in his back pocket. A close-up then shows something flat stuck to the end of one of Chirinos' batting gloves. Chirinos explains the item was an authentication sticker that had been placed on his bat after he hit a home run in the previous game. Sticker started to peel off before that game, and Chirinos sought advice from one of the MLB's authenticators in the dugout. The authenticator said he could not replace the sticker until it became unusable, but could try to reinforce it with tape. What viewers saw was the taped-down authentication sticker flying off his bat, he said. He said the authenticator then corroborated his explanation during the investigation.
Too detailed to be a lie.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly how that happened, and I don't know, maybe you could make all that up. It's always possible. You know, there are some really good liars, but Knowing what we know about all this detail and Chirinos' character, I would be absolutely stunned.
I would too. And here's the other deal too. This is why it had to go to I'm paying a person to give me the signs individually. Is if Chirinos, if they would have been doing something similar still in 2019, I mean, Chirinos is buddies with Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels and whoever it is on the Rangers that he was on in 2017. And he could say, not, you know, he wouldn't go to maybe the media and go talk to Evan Grant and say, Evan, you need to write this. But I guarantee you those are his buddies too. Be like, hey, you know why we were getting crushed by the Astros and we thought they were stealing our signs? I know exactly how they're doing it because I'm on their team and it's pretty awesome. You know, I mean, it would have, that's how things were getting spread.
Yeah.
And so that's why Chirinos is like, man, I don't know about it because things were getting spread so much around Major League Baseball when I start talking to people about this, that the Astros had to stop doing it in midway through 2018 or a little bit into 2018. They had to stop doing it so openly that it was just getting around too much. And so Altuve and Bregman, to my opinion, not factually, decided to pay off one of the code breakers and get them to individually buzz them on what was coming and not letting any of their teammates know or anything. And those guys probably made a lot of money when they're not making a lot of money to do code breaking things for the Houston Astros.
Man, how important is it that Altuve and Bregman have good years at the plate, right? Like if they hit 230 and they might struggle.
Dude, that's why I think that they're going to have a down year. Because if you're an Astro player this year, when you start slumping, I mean, unless you are so insulated by the local media, every question is going to be, is it harder now because you're not cheating?
Yeah.
Why haven't you gotten a hit in three games?
And you don't even have to be asked that. You're already thinking that.
Yeah.
Am I even that good?
Yeah.
You know? Can I have this kind of career? Are the Astros going to start looking at me like I'm stealing money from them on the back half of this contract because I cheated my way to a big deal? There's all sorts of things, and I just don't feel like a couple of draft picks and a $5 million fine even comes close to the level of punishment that should be coming, would be coming in tons of sports leagues. In any other situation in life, massive punishment would come for stealing like this.
Multiple things here from the AutoFlex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053. From the 940, did I miss something? Was it confirmed that they were wearing buzzers now? No, but if you did watch the press conference, if you had it on MLB Network, and then they went inside the clubhouse and started pulling audio from everybody, what Jose Altuve said was the commissioner's report found I did not wear a buzzer in 2019. Jose Altuve, did you wear a buzzer? The commissioner's report said I didn't, so that's what we have to go by. They work thoroughly to put together a report, and they said I didn't, so I must not have.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I'm not giving exact quotes, but that's pretty much the way he answered the freaking question.
Now, unfortunately, the other way that this might go, because some athletes are wired this way. They could turn this into a us against the world thing and just really buckle down, work harder than they've ever worked, win 100 games and win the World Series. And we'll just all be like, dang it.
Yes. That's the story. That's the story that we need to put baseball back the way it was, right? Astros.
I don't need that story.
Well, I mean, yes, but that could allow us to move on.
Yeah, I guess.
If the Astros win it all, and you know what else could really help? If other stories come out of teams cheating, that would be massive right now. But the narrative now is that the Astros are having to be spinmeisters because they've been caught, and they're doing a horrible job at it. If you've been at work all day, here's what Jim Crane, Astros franchise owner, actually attempted to say, and then moments later attempted to deny that he had said it.
Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees and teams that you beat in 17?
Listen, the Yankees have had a few comments out there. You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. Basically, you know, as the commissioner said in his report, he's not going to go backwards. This didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game. This didn't impact the game. I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
Unbelievable. That's what they're going with. So there's no doubt that there is a lot more to the story that they do not want to share with us. There's transparency that they're not going to give to us. And now it becomes the challenge of the media. Can we totally unravel this story while the commissioner's office is working to suppress everything? The players are denying everything. And every team has been told, if you make an even bigger deal out of this, you might be punished more than the Astros were punished. Because remember last month, that was the part of the story that came out, that MLB is asking us to be silent about this. And we'll talk more about it coming up at 6:20 as this story continues to evolve. But can the media do it? And then if the media does it, will they just deny it? You know, will MLB just say, oh, yeah, no, that actually didn't happen?
I hope so, because I don't want to lose baseball.
I just want it to be the Astros. I will say, those Astro fans that are hanging in there strong on the AutoFlex Leasing fan techs, we're just biased. Altuve is one of the nicest guys in the world, and you know, his bang rate was really low, and that is true. Based off of that 59-game thing that the guy did, Altuve had one of the lowest ones.
That's because he was buzzered up. He didn't need it.
And it doesn't mean that he didn't really get it a lot come playoff time.
Yeah, oh, I mean, look, there are Patriots fans who 100% believe that they never did anything. It was all made up. You know, not only was Deflategate made up, which is scientifically ambiguous, but also Spygate was made up, and they're just out to get us. And I talked about it a couple hours ago when we talked about this in Baseball Nuggets. It's the responsibility of the media to tell the story, because everybody watching and listening is paying attention and absolutely taking their cues from what the media says is reality. The problem here, and when it's the sports world, it's not that big of a deal, but when it comes to the real world, it can be a bigger deal, is the media members feel intimidated by telling what they know is the truth. They have to reconcile the truth with what they want, the organization's statement wants the truth to be. And then they have to marry it and decide, I'm going to compromise here on my own truth for what they want, and then decide, if I tell my actual truth, are they going to cut me off from access? And that's where we really get into trouble here when trying to determine what is actual reality. When the people telling the story don't have the freedom to just give you the truth, they have to keep in mind, well, you know, this organization that I'm talking about here, they kind of put food on my table by allowing me to break stories. If I tell the truth about this, that doesn't really impact my life other than my journalistic integrity, then I might find myself looking for a new job and having to move my kids and all that. And that's why, you know, business and the news shouldn't be so intertwined.
Gavin, they still had to field run and hit. They had to still field run and pitch. They couldn't cheat doing that. They're still a great team. Y'all are crazy.
Wow. Yeah, denial is great, isn't it?
Sure, they got to hit better than everyone else, but there's more to baseball than that.
The pitching and fielding, they couldn't cheat doing that, so they're the champs.
Hey, denial is very powerful, you know, and you can choose your reality. You really can. You can determine it for yourself. Jeff, your unnamed segment's coming up next. That's my reality. Where are we going with that?
Buyer beware on this Cowboys draft target. It's next.
All righty. Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Everybody's having a good time here. Astros fans, you guys are in denial.
It's great, though. It's fun. Go get it, guys.
You cheated and you won. No. Just be the heel. Just say, yeah, we cheated and won. Forget it. Forget you guys. You didn't cheat good enough. Just own it. Here's Jeff with his segment.
All right. If you missed the announcement earlier, as of Monday, Mike Bacsik will no longer be with us. He's going to die. He's going to be on KNC Masterpiece starting on Monday. And Brian Broaddus will be joining the G-Bag Nation moving forward. That is if we avoid the extinction level event that might happen on Saturday.
Oh, no.
But that's not the lead story, of course. The lead story is sports. I'd like to talk about the NFL draft. It's a lot of fun. And Gavin, good luck stopping us starting Monday. It's going to get out of control. I'm kidding, listener. We're still going to talk about all the sports.
I won't stop you until we talk about practice squad guys.
Until you get to like, well, hold on now. In the sixth round, I'm looking for a special teamer to provide some depth. And it's like, well, hold on, man. It is February. Why don't you chill out with that?
What do you think if they want to do a whole segment on kickers and punters, Gavin?
That won't happen. No. I mean, I'll ask Spittle if that's what you want.
Spittle's going to want that. Yeah, Spittle that's want the it. Wrong person to ask.
He's a punter. Oh, that's right, the punters?
He's yes, a punter he guy. Is really involved in kickers and punters. That's his specialty.
He's already told me that the Dallas XFL guy we should be looking at to be the Cowboys punter. Plus, Marquette King is in the XFL right now.
The show is going to be a short a guy who could turn off his mic for a segment and a half. So maybe I'll pick up the slack.
He's talking to you.
I'm going
to,
you know what? The commissioner's report came out, and that is the truth.
Yep. So Pro Football Focus did
a
write-up.
Can't argue with the report.
Shut up, Mike! Might be the last time I'll get to say it. Had to get it in there. They did a write-up on Pro Football Focus. It was called Buyer Beware on 10 NFL Draft Prospects. And the only one that I want to go through really quick, because he's been tied to the Cowboys a lot, is Grant Delpit, the LSU safety. By this point, if you are a Tolo and turn it on and leaving it on, maybe you're even in the Tolo Facebook group or the G-Bag Facebook group, I don't know, then you've probably heard us talk about Grant Delpit. You might even know already what is the troubling part about this young man from LSU as a prospect. Missed tackles.
They put
buyer beware of missed tackles. So here is where Pro Football Focus really shines for me. It's the stats. They got the stats for you. They say, we're still higher on Delpit than anyone else on our buyer beware list, but we'd be lying if we said the missed tackles didn't terrify us. Here's the stats over the course of his career. In 2017, Grant Delpit, as a freshman, missed 8 tackles. That's 12% of the tackles he could have made, he missed. 12%.
Okay, 1 in 8 you missed? That doesn't seem horrible. Not tackling
great.
Is hard.
Not great. Not horrendous. In 2018, as a sophomore, because here's the thing, 2019, I kind of pushed this, not agenda, but factual statement. He had an ankle injury and started missing tackles because he couldn't move as well. And it's kind of like, yeah, well, I'm hurt. What do you want?
Yeah, I can't bring the thunder, coach. My bad.
2017, he missed 12% of his tackles. 2018, he had 16 missed tackles, which was 19.8%. Of his tackle attempts, he missed 1 in 5.
Business decisions.
That's bad. 2019, last year, he missed 20 tackles. That is 25.6% of the time when he tries to tackle a guy.
Dear Lord.
He misses.
So you want to play corner?
So that is the guy that I like him for the Cowboys in a trade back scenario. At 17, I won't love it, but I love the ability to cover, the instincts. I think he'll be a turnover guy, but the missed tackle thing, it's not made up. It's real life. Now, on to more important matters. Extinction level event potential on Saturday. We have an asteroid rapidly approaching Earth. They say it'll probably miss. Probably. It's an asteroid that's larger than the tallest man-made structure in the world. It's going about 34,000 miles an hour right now. They say it'll likely miss us by a few million miles. Likely. According to International Business Times, NASA's Center for Near-Earth Object Studies identified the asteroid could come close to intersecting with our planet's path on February 15th at 6.05 a.m. Eastern time. So Central, that's 5.05, right? 7.06? Yeah. So 5.05 a.m. on Saturday. We'll all be sleeping, so we won't know if the Earth ends. But the these asteroids are currently defined based on parameters that measure the asteroid's potential to make threatening close approaches to Earth. This one qualifies. It's estimated to have a diameter of about 3,250 feet around.
Oh, that's big.
Making it large enough to potentially, quote,
flyby,
trigger a nuclear winter and mass extinction events.
Oh,
should it collide with Earth.
Oh, if it hits Earth, not just flyby, good.
Yeah. So they're saying they think it'll miss, so maybe don't worry about it, but maybe Saturday. Have fun Friday night. That's what I would say. Tomorrow night, whatever it is that brings you joy, just tear it up, because there is a chance you don't wake up Saturday.
4.9 billion years ago, I would have been really worried about this, but things have been flying around and missing each other for a long time up there. I think we're good.
Or you could say we're due.
Yeah,
you
could.
Been quite some time. In other news, did you guys see the airline story that's been flying around?
Oh, the guy punching the chair?
Oh, Yeah.
I heard Sean and Roy get into it pretty good about it this morning.
Is there clear rules on this? Do you recline on a plane?
I don't.
I don't either. There's nothing you can do when somebody does it to you, but I don't.
I do not recline on a plane either. Lucius, are you a recliner on an airliner? Are you a recliner on an airliner? You ever recline?
Yeah, sometimes.
You do?
Yeah.
And you think it's okay?
I don't go crazy. Like,
nice. Well, it only goes like 2 inches.
Yeah, that's it.
You go, okay, all right. Well, yeah, Wendy Williams was on her flight on American Airlines. Now, here's the added level to this one. She's in the second row from the back. The guy behind her can't recline.
Ooh.
He's in the back, right?
Okay.
So she does. She gets on back there. Oh, yeah! And moves back as far as the plane will let you, which is about 2 inches. And she gets back there. And she started videoing after he had allegedly punched the back of her seat 9 times. And he just keeps going. Pop, 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 pop. And now she's starting to say, like, she DM'd American Airlines. It's like, clearly you guys want me to be quiet about this, but let me tell you about all my spinal problems and the doctor visits I've had to make and how he broke my back. So that's hogwash. We're not going to acknowledge that.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you, I've had 2 back surgeries. Reclining that thing 2 to 3 inches is not going to help your back.
No, yeah. I think what she's saying is that allowing the passenger to do that has now caused her more problems with her bad back, and so she needs a settlement. But whatever, we'll skip that part. We need to focus on what's really wrong here. What's really wrong here is not that that guy's a jerk. Although he probably is. I don't believe in the recline, and I'm 6'3", okay? So when you recline on me, know that. Have some situational awareness. Recline on a 5'8", dude. Don't recline on me.
I think for people that recline, they don't get annoyed by the closing in on the space as much. Like, for me,
I'm
looking at that.
Oh, and that's why I don't recline, is because I am bothered by it.
Yeah.
I don't want to bother someone else.
Yeah, you're like, oh, man, that person's really good. But they might be the type of person that's like, that's fine. They just moved their chair back. I'm reading a book.
I should hit him with the tap.
Yeah.
Pardon me. I'm not telling you can't do this. I just want you to know that it's incredibly uncomfortable for me to have you further into my space on this really tiny aircraft. I'm not telling you not to.
Yeah.
Just want you to know how I feel.
Just wanted you to be aware.
Have
I am one
day.
Of the people. My spatial sensitivity is pretty strong.
Yeah.
And that thing comes back and I'm spiking back here. I'm like a 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
But man, I would really like to.
Also, in high school, they referred to me as Boss Hog, the one hitter quitter.
Oh, shoot.
So whatever you want to do is up to you.
Yeah. Now, I tell you what, for me, while I am one of those guys where my anxiety spikes, I'm trying to get over it. I'm trying to look at that chair, come back and just be like, that's okay. Take a deep breath, get back into your book. You don't have to acknowledge it. And it worked once for like 3 minutes.
I tend to flash into my gymnastic days where I take my seatbelt off and I immediately jump into a front somersault onto them and just be like, hey, I wanted some room too.
Yeah.
But the real problem here and the people we need to focus on is the airlines themselves. Okay. Because we know
that
button
should be deactivated.
Not the button.
Somebody said that they shouldn't have recliners.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
Well, they can have recliners. The problem is that you jammed us in here like sardines, which now makes the recline feature offensive.
Yes.
You know,
man, have you guys ever flown Spirit? I did that one time for really cheap.
Yeah, it's even
That is made for 5'3", 96-pound people.
See, I think every airline is.
Well, wait till you fly. Don't fly Spirit to save $70.
It's like sitting on a 2x4.
If they have rules on this thing, I bet they were made in like 1932.
I would imagine,
The average human was like 4'3".
Well, I did see. I did see they're in the process of redesigning the airline industry. I wonder if they're going to take that button out. And Sean had a good point this morning. If you don't want to be subjected to that, there are some seats that aren't first class that are a little more premium, like the exit row or some of those, they have the added space ones. But, at other times there is no option, right? You're on a booked flight. Everybody's taking the premium seating, which is a good bargain for like an extra $40 sometimes. You get an extra 6-8 inches.
Just make it a world where the people who can't afford to fly is a larger percentage. And give more room to the book. Crank the prices up. Just give us leg room. That's all I'm asking. That's it.
Look, can you double the airfare for me?
Yes, double it and let's
get some legroom going on here.
Let's get this problem out of here.
It would be cool if there were lots of options, like the seats could slide left, right, they could expand, they could slide back. And if you wanted to be like, no, I want a $900 experience instead of a $600 experience, they'd be like, fine, we have a bigger chair for you. We can actually put a little bubble around you so you don't have to smell anybody's farts for $200 extra.
Man, that'd be sweet.
Just a customized experience.
Have you ever flown when the person either forgot or doesn't wear deodorant?
Yeah.
And you sit there and you just start like, oh no.
A lot of trips,
is that me? And then you're like, it's not me. That's great. And now it's somebody really close to me. And this smell is not going away for the 2.5 hours I'm on this flight.
Yeah, like twice a year for...
You can have mildew, you can have BO, you can have bad breath, you can have all sorts of situations like that. I was next to a bodybuilder once. This dude was like 6 feet wide, and I was literally using half my seat because his shoulders took up all of my seat. Yeah. I was basically like doing the limbo on the side of my seat, like, all right,
dude,
how's it going?
You could sit in his lap.
Well, luckily, his girlfriend came back and said, honey, there's a seat open next to me.
Oh.
So they went up. But I swear, I was going to need a chiropractor after that trip.
It's a tough break.
Yeah. Well, it was a good break. It was a great break.
Well, it was a tough break at first.
Yeah.
Became a good break.
What's on 105.3thefan.com? Let's look at that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.